Thank you ever so much, Tanya. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is a translation and transliteration of contact information PDP working group on the 22nd of August, 2013. On the call today, we have Chris Dillon, Vinnie Kumar Singh, and Rudy Vansnick. We have received no apology for today's call. And from staff, we have Julie Headland, Glenda Saint-Géry, Lars Hoffman, and myself, Naku Peregrin. I'd like to remind all participants to please state their names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you.
Thank you very much, Natalie. And this is Julie Headland, and I'll just go ahead and turn things over to our co-chairs, Chris Dillon and Rudy Vansnick.
Thank you. This is Chris speaking. Rudy, are you going to chair today, or shall I? Don't mind either way.
Well, I would say go ahead. I'm just going to try to check out who is missing in the participant list in order to have a kind of quorum, because we are just three of us. And
there is. And this is Julie Headland. I'll put the membership list into the chat, so you'll see who's there. Just one moment. We are missing quite a few people, so I don't know that we could say that we have quorum with just three. But let me pull up the membership list and put it in momentarily here.
Well, I think Rudy Vansnick here. I think that one of the reasons why we are not that many is that the context of this work is not so easy. Getting a final view on what is acceptable and what is not acceptable for the working group is not that easy to define, I think. We had already a few discussions on the mailing list. But go ahead, Chris. I'm letting you go ahead.
Okay. Well, I think before we go into the agenda, we really do have to make a decision about whether we're quorate with this number. My own instinct is that, in fact, we are, and that we should continue. If somebody feels strongly about that, then just say so now.
So this is Julie Headland. I know it's a little bit messy because the copy and paste didn't work real well out of the member list, but and so there's some duplicates, but we have Ching Chow, Edmund Chung, Chris Dillon, Amir Al-Sadir, Yav Karen, and Vinay Singh, Rudy Vansnick. So we have a total, by my count, of seven members on the drafting team. Last week's meeting, we did have several more people. I know Yoav participated. I think Amir also was on the call last week. I think Ching and Edmund have not joined for our last two calls.
Okay, this is Chris speaking. I think if we get going, I need to start by asking the official question whether anybody's statement of interest has changed. That's just a formality, really. Hearing no response on that, I will go into the rest of the agenda. I'm just waking my computer up here. So this is the discussion. So we're into part two of the agenda, which is the discussion of the draft, which and Julie's just displaying it now with certain sections that were added as a result of various contributions from Yoav and other people last week. So that really the question is whether anybody would like to make a comment about any of those additions. Okay, this is Chris speaking. Well, hearing no comments on the additions, I'll just go back to a few things that, well, there's one thing which was discussed on the mailing list, at least one thing which I'll just mention briefly. I thought that somewhere in section two, just try and find that for you, that's on page four. So on page four, there are bullets. Five bullet points, and those were the five models that have been discussed in the two reports, which are on the first page of our charter. I wanted to add a sentence which was basically saying that the working group would not be restricted to implementing one of those five, that they would actually be free to make a change to those. I mean, unless I've missed it, I don't think that's actually there in the document, and I think it's a useful freedom for the working group to have. Rudy, sorry, I missed that. Yeah, I can see you're putting your hand up. Would you like to speak about that?
Thank you, Chris. Rudy here. Yeah, indeed, as we already discussed by email, it is important that we allow the working group to step into another model that would... perhaps be a better solution,
mm-hmm.
as we
yeah.
have discovered today, that the five are not really the five that will solve the issue.
Yeah.
We have seen that the issue is really larger than it has been described. And when I looked into the report and the previous document, it's clear that by the fact that we will have so many new data coming into the WHOIS databases,
mm-hmm.
due to the fact that we have the IDNs at one side and the new GTLDs that will start soon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it is important that we have a solution before
yeah.
the mess starts popping up. I'm really afraid of what if there is a complaint tomorrow that... cannot be solved by the fact that a name was wrongly translated. And I think for that reason, I'm really for your proposal of adding a sentence that would allow the working group to step aside the proposed models.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But only yep. if there is an agreement from the legal department, from ICANN, to avoid any further discussions.
Thank you very much for that, Rudy. This is rather an interesting point, that whether I was suggesting, this is Chris speaking again, I was suggesting that really, effectively, the intention of this document was that the five bullet points were suggestions, and that really all I was doing was adding a clarification. I certainly think what Julie is actually suggesting some text for the clarification, which is in the window, sort of the PDP working group will not be limited to considering the above alternatives, but will be encouraged to consider all possible alternatives. Really all I have done is interpreted that as being effectively what this document is doing. So I would tend not to refer that to the legal department. And there was also a point that Vinay was making, which again I felt... I think if I understood the point Vinay was making on the list correctly, it was actually, what constitutes a legal address. And that was something that I thought possibly should be referred to the legal department, but not by us. I felt really that was something that the working group should be doing. So what I am saying is that I don't think we need to refer either of these things to the legal department.
Rudy speaking.
Yes.
Well, indeed, when I said it would be with the agreement of the legal department, would not be the legal department defining that we add that sentence, but that the working group will consult the legal department if they're going to choose another model.
This is Julie. May I comment on that?
By all means.
So, thank you. Perhaps I could clarify something with respect to the PDP. So the ICANN legal staff, when staff drafted both the preliminary issue report and the final issue report, legal staff were consulted and found that the issues, as you see here under the mission and scope, whether it's desirable to translate contact information to a single common language or transliterate to a single script, and who should bear the burden, legal's determination was that these are in scope for a PDP. But legal does not have to determine what particular model the working group considers. For example, the IRD working group, when it discussed the four models, and then also then there was the model, the fifth one that was suggested in the public comment form, it simply proposed those as possible models. And I think Chris's point is right, that the working group does not have to be limited to these. And there are indeed other possible alternatives, but the models themselves don't need to go through a legal review as to whether or not they're in scope of a PDP, because basically the overarching issue itself is in scope for a PDP. There may, however, be a need to consult with legal when one comes to the implementation of a particular model, as far as the legal ramifications. And of course, and we can say it here as well, if we want to be very specific, and maybe this gets to Vinay's point as well, maybe what we might want to add is some text that says, the PDP working group may consult with ICANN legal staff on any legal ramifications that may apply. Since I'm saying this off the top of my head, I think it's badly worded, but any legal ramifications of any particular model or something like that. I can try to come up with something better. Thank you.
Thank you, Julie. This is Chris speaking. That sounds. The key word in the sentence is really the may. You know, they have a freedom to do that. So that feels more or less right. And one certainly suspects that if a particular model, whether it's one of the five or another model, if any model were chosen, I can't imagine that the ICANN legal department wouldn't be consulted. But really, the reason I'm sounding a little bit hesitant about this is that it's quite a long way away, and that there is a desire not to do anything to trip up the working group. That's really the only thing that's motivating me. So, this is Chris speaking again. To conclude, I think I would really like to ask Julie to add both sentences. So it's the sentence about the possibility of an additional model, and also the sentence about the PDP working group may wish to consult or something along those lines. Ah, yes, okay, which we can now see in the chat room. This is Chris continuing to speak. So the PDP working group also may consult with ICANN legal to staff when considering alternatives. I can't imagine that would do any harm. Rudy, would you like to say something about that?
Thank you, Chris. Rudy speaking. I'm really liking the proposal that Julie has put in the chat room. But I started having some thoughts about who is going to be in the working group once the charter is done. I have the impression that it will be probably all of us being in the draft today, as we are already collecting a lot of experience. But as I was mentioning also in the chat, I think it's really important that we get some input from Edmund Chong, for instance, who I consider being a specialist in implementing IDNs, and will probably already have looked into how, as a registry and a registrar, you can solve the issue of different languages than the ASCII language. So I would propose that we send a message, a mail to Edmund, and eventually also to what's the name? Qing Chao, to ask their feeling about what the working group should really look into. With the experience they have doing the IDNs. Maybe we are just looking over some issues that they have in mind and that we don't see. Is that something we can go for? I would like, eventually willing to draft the mail and then send it to Chris, and we send it as the co-chairs of the drafting team to people we think could advise us a little bit more in what are the real issues with especially the IDNs who is contact data.
Thank you, Rudy. This is Chris speaking. Yes, I think that makes huge sense. There is no doubt that when it comes to the working group, it would be very good to broaden the scope of the people involved, and specifically into registries and registrars, those stakeholder groups. So I think that makes huge sense. We might as well do it now. Why not?
Speaking again, a question for Julie. Can the members of the drafting team be members of the working group, or is there any restriction? I don't know.
This is Julie. Thank you, Rudy, for your question. Absolutely, the members of the drafting team can be members of the working group, and my understanding is that it is usually the case that drafting team members stay on as working group members because of the experience in drafting the charter and how useful that is. And I think I noted in the chat room that both Edmund and Qing are members of this drafting team, and we certainly would encourage them to stay on as members of the working group. I very much support, however, the idea of engaging them to specifically provide comments on this charter. since they are in the drafting team and have not been able to attend the meetings. I think that, and also because we have a number of people who are missing again today while we're discussing these issues, I would feel more comfortable if we could get more people in the drafting team commenting on the charter, including, of course, both Edmund and Ching, and hopefully get more people, encourage more people to attend next week's meeting as well.
Hello, this is Chris speaking. Yes, I couldn't agree more. I mean, you know, certainly, effectively, what they will be looking at is a third draft of it. You know, there was the basic draft that you did, then there was the major upgrade, and then there are a few sentences going in. So it would be a really good time to look at it and get their input. Amar, you've just put your hand up. Would you like to say something? I think that this is Chris speaking. I think we've got technical problems. Amar, would you like to type a question, perhaps? We can't hear.
I'm just trying to use audio on the first time. Can you hear me?
Amar, yes, we can hear you. Thank you.
Great. Thanks. I have a question, really. I think it touches upon the issue of asking for legal advice, as well as another part of the draft charter on the same page, saying that the PEP working group should also consult with the different SOs and ACs.
Mm-hmm.
Should we not add, perhaps, that the working group should consult with or at least review work by other PDP working groups that have done that have addressed issues relating to who is, such as, for example, the THIC Who Is PDP working group, which already has an initial report published. Because they, for example, that group discusses issues like response consistency, as well as raises some interesting questions on privacy regarding transfer of who is data across legal jurisdictions. So would it be prudent to add that to the charter?
Amar, this is Chris speaking. Thank you very much for that. As Rudy is typing in the chat window, that's a very good point. There do seem to be some past working groups, and there's also a working group that they're just about to set up, which unfortunately I don't have the title for that, but that's just about to happen. And so it's really worth mentioning those relevant working groups. Yes, that would be a good improvement. This is Chris continuing to speak. Julie is actually typing in the chat window now another sentence about other relevant PDPs concerning IDNs and who is. Yes, especially who is, I think. Thank you very much, Julie, for that. And Amar, is there another question you'd like to make?
Sorry about that.
No problem.
I just put my hand down.
Okay, Chris speaking. I think we probably just need to make a bit of a collection of relevant PDPs, really. But yes, that sounds to be a substantial improvement for the next draft. Just watching what's going on in the chat. Some typing going on now. Julie is typing in the chat window that we could just leave it open. my instinct, to be honest, is to be more proactive than that. I think we probably should list a few of them because, with ICANN there are so many things happening. It is very easy to miss something important, and I think for that reason, I would actually tend to mention them specifically. I'd rather we do that than miss something. I realize that may sound a bit tedious, but I think that's probably work that's worth doing. Now, Rudy, would you like to say something at this point?
Yes, thank you, Chris. Rudy speaking. I fully agree with you that we need to list at least the most important ones, as we know that many discussions are going around. Especially in the context of the privacy, the whole discussion, thick and thin, who is. I think we need to reflect into the final work and the final report, what has been discussed and agreed on in other PDP working groups that are touching upon the contact information, and especially when it's related to IDM. So what I propose that, and I put it on my to-do list, that I would go through the last 2 years' activities and check which PDP or which working group is important for our working group work. And list them and bring them eventually into the next version of the charter.
Okay, this is Chris speaking. That all sounds very, very useful. So perhaps if all of us could have Julie is actually writing that she'll pull these from the wiki as a start. You know, it may well be that a lot of it is already done, but it would just be good to have it in the one place. Okay. That sounds like another substantial improvement then. All right. So I'd just like to ask whether there are any other questions about the present draft. Any more improvements? Emma, would you like to speak?
I can go after Rudy. It's okay.
Okay, Rudy then, please.
Well, no problem, Rudy here. I was just going to ask Amar and Vinay to eventually bring their opinions at this point to see if we are going in a good direction. By silence is not always the best way to agree.
Okay, shall I go?
Thank you very much.
I have a question on the two bullets, the three bullets at the beginning of the drafting regarding the background and what's required based on what was identified by the IRD working group. The second bullet, who should decide who should bear the burden translating contact information. My question is, could someone please clarify to me the wisdom in putting this as who should decide, who should bear the burden, as opposed to the working group just deciding itself who should bear the burden? I'm relatively new to this, and I'm sure there must be a reason why this is the way it is, but I'd appreciate it if someone could just clarify that. Thanks.
Thank you for that, Amma. I actually don't know the answer to that. I wonder if Julie perhaps may know why that is phrased like that.
Yes, this is Julie. Thank you for your question, Amir. It has to do with the fact that that it is a burden, and it could be a burden that has to be, undertaken, say, by a registrar or a registry, and there may then be contractual obligations that could result. So, for example, there might be a couple of possibilities. If the working group says, we think that registrars should be able to decide whether or not they will bear the burden and do it voluntarily. Or the working group could say, we think that ICANN should decide who will bear the burden and then make that contractual. So that's just two alternatives. There may be others, you know. Or the working group could decide, well, we think registrants should do this, and there's no contractual obligation there, of course, and so we think that, you know, ICANN should say, okay, registrants, it's up to you to do this, you know, or registrants themselves could decide to do it. I think it has to do with, you know, whether or not this is something that, you know, we think ICANN should do. Should the board make the decision? Should people be able to voluntarily make the decision to take on this burden? That is my understanding of why it's worded this way.
Thank you very much, Julie. This is Chris speaking.
This is Amr.
Oh, yes, Amr, by all means.
I'm sorry, but I do not believe that Julie has really answered my question. I understand what the different alternatives might be on who might bear the burden of the translation and or transliteration, but my question is why do we need this working group to decide who will decide on making that decision, as opposed to having this actual working group deciding whether it's going to be the registrar that bears the burden optionally or not, whether it's ICANN that will decide. My question is really, why are we asking this working group to decide on who decides rather than just having the working group decide itself? Does that make any sense?
Thank you. Yes, it does. It does make sense. I mean, I'm guessing. This is Chris speaking. I'm guessing that it's like that because the working group actually doesn't have. It's unlikely that the working group would have the relevant power to do that. And that actually, what it can do is look at an organizational diagram or look at how it works. Or current practice, and then based on that, say, you know, this is the recommendation that we want to make, and you know, certainly I am thinking about the rules of engagement in Section 4 here, that, you know, it's conceivable that it may not be possible to get full consensus there. I'm guessing it's that sort of thing. Rudy, would you like to say something about that?
Yes, thank you, Chris. Rudy speaking. I think that the problem that is on the table is due to the fact that there was no final consensus on the final approach of the problem, and that this working group will have the task to really figure out what is acceptable and what is not acceptable by means of legal restrictions. Just to take a sample, if the registrar takes the decision to translate the contact information and puts in wrong data, from a legal point of view, and especially law enforcement, could attack at that point the registrar first of all, because the registrar has been hiding the information by doing a translation that probably, in that case, was not correct, if I make myself understandable. I think that we need to that the working group has to clarify up to what extent the decision of who is going to do the translation is limited by the legal restrictions. And then I think that's one of the biggest discussions that the working group will have. Who has the authorization to translate contact data into a language that could deviate in completely different direction. The sample has been given on the mail with the translation into Mohammed, for instance, can be written in many samples, and that would indeed not help if the Huish information is expressing a name that doesn't exist.
Thank you, Rudy. That is a very good point, and I think it's really making clear the link between deciding who has responsibility for mistakes in translations and transliterations, because whoever has the responsibility, there are obvious legal connections there. So yes, that's very well put, I would say. Thank you. This is Chris speaking. I'm just reading various comments in the chat room now, and people are just saying yes, it is very likely that there are legal considerations depending on who would carry the responsibility. I would also say here it's not just legal considerations on who ends up with the responsibility, but I think precedent. So what is happening now is probably quite important, because if the working group were to make decisions which were radically different from the status quo, then that could be quite interesting from a legal point of view. And just looking at the chat room, this is Chris speaking. Rudy is saying that means that the registrant doing the translation. So in other words, I think that's model 5 may become attractive.
Rudy speaking.
Fire away.
I think that the final solution would be that the registrant has to do translation. The question is, has the ability to translate in another language? That could put some weight also on the registrant, and it would really put the registrant in a situation where the registrant would be the only responsible in case of legal implication. And I don't know if that is something we are looking for. The registrant can be a private person that has no understanding of another language than the mother tongue, the native language of that person.
Okay, thank you for that, Rudy. This is Chris speaking. I think we have to be a little bit careful, because we're starting to answer questions about who carries responsibility, and we're sort of presuming that it's translation anyway, and it may be partly translation or partly transliteration. There are really several possibilities, and I just feel we're starting to go into the area of what the working group should be doing. So I mean don't get me wrong, I think it's really, really interesting, and by thinking about these things, it also helps us draft the charter, because if we can imagine what they may be doing at the next stage, that may mean we can draft a better charter. So I'm very sympathetic. Okay, I'm just waiting for a moment because I can see both Rudy and Vineo typing things. We have a task list for the next few days. We certainly do. But yeah, that's great. We can certainly kick these things around on the mailing list again. That sounds like a really good thing to do. Again, I'm just waiting. This is Chris speaking. I'm just waiting for various comments in the chat room. And Vinay is saying that he's a law student. Yes, we all end up studying the law doing this to a greater or lesser extent. Thank you. Still a bit of typing going on, so I'll wait for that. And okay, and Rudy is just volunteering to encourage Edmund and Ching to get involved with the mailing list and the drafting group.
Rudy speaking. Yeah, Edmund was. And was a very good friend when I was active in the at-large advisory committee in ALAC, and I can certainly convince him to bring in a lot of his experience that he has had in the past month with the IDNs, because I think that when we discuss about the problem of translation, transliteration, it will essentially touch upon the IDNs in the initial phase.
Thank you, Rudy. I have spent a lot of time talking with Edmund about IDN stuff over the years as well. Yeah, I know what you mean. Okay, now, are there any other questions about the draft? Any more improvements or thoughts? If not, I shall ask whether there's any other business. Okay, well, that sounds as if we are probably nearing the end of the meeting. The date of the next meeting is the same time next Thursday, obviously various people have promised things, so if Julie would be kind enough to do a third draft, and Rudy would just send those emails encouraging participation. Those are the main actions. And Rudy, you have your hand up. Would you like to add something? Yeah.
Yes, thank you, Chris. Rudy speaking. Well, maybe we have to ask the other participant, the other members of the drafting team, if another time slot and another date would maybe be more helpful to get them in our calls.
Yes.
In order to avoid that we have to go through mailing lists.
Yes, that may just be worth doing. So I'm very happy to send an email out to the list and just say, is there? Julie is just putting her hand up.
This is Julie Hedlund. One possibility would be that when I send out the meeting notice, the notes from today's meeting, I can ask people to RSVP specifically, say by Monday, to indicate that they can attend, or not. And if we don't get enough RSVPs, then perhaps what we'll have to do is do another doodle to find an alternate time. That's a little difficult because, of course, based on the doodle, this was the time that worked best for people. So we may very well end up with the same time, and it just may be that people have had conflicts. But I will ask people to RSVP, and I think it will be also extremely helpful that, as Rudy has suggested, to reach out to Edmund and Ching, perhaps by engaging them
ahead of the meeting, you know, we can find out if they can attend the meeting or, you know, if we have to go back to the drawing board and come up with another time.
Okay, this is Chris speaking. Thank you very much for that, Julie. I think we probably need to run this process. My own feeling is that what we're actually suffering from is just everybody's on a holiday in August. I think we do have to be absolutely sure that there isn't a better time. So let us proceed like that. Okay. Well, in that case, I'm intending to. Julie, have you still something you'd like to say?
Sorry, no. Forgot to put my hand down.
that's all right. No problem. In that case, end the meeting slightly early and say that we'll probably be here at the same time next week. But if the result of if there does end up being another doodle poll, it's conceivable we will be meeting at some other time. But unless that happens, I'll see you again next week. So thank you very much for a very good discussion.
Thank you, everyone. This is extremely helpful. Have a great day.